Yeah, that's very true. I think perhaps our goal was more to create something that may have been a little bit more sustainable than giving out fruits and vegetables directly, and also perhaps something that was grounded within the community. Well,
are they still doing it?
Yeah, we haven't done a follow-up evaluation after the program has ended. Unfortunately, the funding period has ended for the program, so I can't say for sure whether those stores are continuing to stock produce. I'm hoping that perhaps at least some of them had a positive experience with the program and would continue.
And your preventive medicine residents often like to do research, so this would be a fabulous opportunity for them to go back to these stores and just see if they're still selling and what, and then you have a report for us for next year. So we'll look forward to that.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Now we have to end, and then if we have time at the end, we can perhaps find her after. But we have to go on, and we are very fortunate to have Dr. Sturm with us from the from RAND, and he is a professor in a university?
Public policy school. It's part of RAND. Yeah.
It's part of RAND, doing public policy, and Dr. Sturm is an economist. So we have a little bit different perspective now on a project that's actually quite exciting, isn't it? Zoning in Los Angeles, an example of getting rid of some of those fast foods in the places that we don't want them. So please take it away.
Okay, zoning well. If you can't see it, up there, the two front rows have plenty of seats.
A lot of
seats. The
seat
angle here is bad. So, Zoning for Health, Assessing the Fast Food Ban in Los Angeles. It's a different title from what I have because research doesn't stand still, right? When I submitted the abstract, well, there's a lot more interesting things to say now than there were when we had to submit abstracts. Let's see, how does this thing move forward? Okay, nothing to disclose. Well, there's no really source of money here. I have NIH funding. The fast food ban in Los Angeles, you probably, at least some of you have heard it in the news, was a big story in the summer, because in the summer, the Los Angeles City Council passed a one-year ordinance that prohibits new standalone fast food restaurants in South LA, which is an area of about 700,000 residents. It's just for 1 year to explore it, then change it, evaluate, all that stuff will happen. It's not a new idea in academic debates to deal with fast food to improve health, and it's not a new idea in zoning regulation to begin with, although not for health reasons. Several other lots of small towns in tourist areas have done something similar for very different reasons. We don't want big fast food boxes in our tourist areas. Bad for business. What's new here, the LA ordinance may be the first regulation that's influenced by health concerns. And in the actual text you see here, there's an overconcentration of fast food restaurants in the South Los Angeles regions, which are detrimental to the health and welfare of the people of the community. Strong words here. And the goal is to increase the number of full-service restaurants and grocery stores. Sounds all reasonable. The news coverage here, you can see that it immediately jumped on Reuters. A little bit foggy here, hazy, but you know exactly what they mean, right? You can see the arches. USA Today, that's actually a picture from that area. There's a Pollo Loco, and as bizarre as things are, Pollo Loco will not be considered fast food. We'll get to this. So, the research group, what I want to do is, let's look at the empirical evidence for the regulation, analyze whether the regulation actually targets key differences, that underlying differences in diet and obesity between the areas that are targeted and the areas that are not targeted. Now, 700,000 people is a lot, but Los Angeles has 3.7 million. And so why does the city council not do it for all of Los Angeles? And discuss the effectiveness of land use policy. Here's a map of the area. We're talking about this area here, South Los Angeles. Oh, the ocean runs about this way here. And these holes are not water holes. These are cities that are not Los Angeles, like this is Santa Monica, this is Beverly Hills. South Los Angeles, rough area, and I'm going to contrast that to West Los Angeles, which has areas like Brentwood, Pacific Palisades, areas that are too expensive for me to live in, Venice Beach, and so, very different thing. And the demographics, totally different. In the Ban area, over 50% are Hispanic. We're not talking about a minority here, we're talking about the majority. 36% are black, 2% Asian. The median household income is 24,000. So the median is pretty close to poverty. you have a large family, it would be below the poverty line. West Los Angeles, very different, 70% Hispanic, 5% black, 12% Asian. The median household income is, it's not three times that, but it's getting there, $64,000, a lot more. The measures of the food retail environment, I'm looking at business listings from InfoUSA, which are selected by their industrial classification codes. Not a perfect measure by any means. There are other ways of doing it, but this is the one I'm going to report here. And I report you two statistics, density per 100,000 and density per 100 roadway miles, because results will differ, and we'll go about it. We calculate the six fast food market leaders, the ones you know. Well, there are lots of other stuff, Jack in the Boxes, Carl's Jr.'s, Domino's. So I'm looking, want to really look at the 70 major fast food chains that are out there. Then let's look at grocery stores. Any grocery stores, right? Not huge supermarket, grocery stores. Then we have the large supermarkets, which is more than $1 million in revenue, and convenience stores, the 7-Elevens. Food outlet density in Los Angeles. I'm going to summarize that in words in just a second, but so if you can't see the pictures, the numbers, never mind. Fast food chains, the 70 biggest, we have 18 per 100,000 residents in South Los Angeles versus 33 in West Los Angeles. Well, looks different, right? I didn't make a mistake here. These are the actual numbers here. Now, the restaurants in South Los Angeles are a lot fewer. 104 per 100,000 residents, 255 in West LA. Convenience stores are kind of similar here. What is quite different are the medium-sized food stores. Small, medium-sized food stores, grocery stores, right? 56 per 100,000 versus 50. And they have fewer large supermarkets, the big large supermarkets. So are we focusing really on the right thing here? Well, I don't think we are. Fast food density per capita is not that high in South LA. The density of large fast food chains is 80% higher in West LA, 60% per higher across the county. There are fewer restaurants of any type per capita in the South LA area. And EIS, one of the policy things is get more sit-down restaurants into this area. Now, the patterns actually do hold nationwide. I'm pretty confident. If you go by tracks or zip codes, you will find that racially mixed black neighborhoods have fewer restaurants. They also have fewer fast food franchises per residence. And the higher density of fast food restaurants actually tends to be more in the middle income areas. Population adjustment. There are differences. Now, the density of convenience stores is also not that different, but it's very different the density of small, medium-sized grocery store. Double that of the county average, more than three times of West LA. We have a lower density of large supermarkets, noticeably too, right? That's the per capita measure. Now, there's another way to do it, because people will immediately jump on it. Oh, you're doing it all wrong. Per capita measures are wrong. I'm agnostic about this, right? I think it's a good way, but maybe we should look at roadway miles, which is another way of density, because people have to get somewhere to it, right? Along the roads, usually. So density, per capita might not be the right one, but density for roadway miles is another reasonable measure. Now, if you look at this, things look kind of similar. They don't look dramatically different, but then we don't have this lack of restaurants either. So, the story still doesn't quite make sense. Now, if we believe the roadway mile measure is the right one, we have a huge amount of growth of convenience stores in that area. And we have monstrous amounts of smaller grocery stores. However, the other story about the lack of supermarkets doesn't hold up either. And I believe if you try to do that in other areas, you will find something similar. Per roadway miles, the density may not be that different of the large supermarkets, even if it's population adjusted. So, Ian Wurtz, again, if you couldn't see the numbers. South LA has similar densities of any restaurants, fast food chains, or large supermarkets as the other areas, if you believe roadway miles is the right metric. However, there they have twice the density of convenience stores and four times the density of smaller food mart stores. No differences in supermarkets. So conventional wisdom is really shut down. We should look at data a little bit more. The facts are hard to reconcile with the media reports of this overconcentration or with what's written in the text of the ordinance. So either the density of fast food chains is much lower, which is, if you believe, the per capita measure, or they are similar to other areas, which is the roadway mile measure. But then there are too many grocery stores and other convenience stores. Maybe that's where we should look at. Now let me try to connect that with the consumption patterns and so. This is done by my colleague Deborah Cohen. She collected the data. She's very busy. Oh, with Tom Fowley, who's here too. He collected something similar in Louisiana. But we're just looking at the LA County part. Like I told you, the South LA tracks, you know, their income, very low. And I'm comparing that now not to the west side because I don't have enough people there, but to tracts in Los Angeles County with median household income over 40,000, and it actually comes out to an average median of 63,000, so much richer areas. We look at BMI, diet, and shopping. And I'm going to talk a little bit about something that's called discretionary calories. Now, you know this story about discretionary calories from the food dietary guidelines, right? If you eat everything that you're supposed to eat, you have a little bit left over, which you can spend on junk food, or you can just eat more apples and carrots, right? But this is discretionary for energy balance. And people have about 200 calories left, discretionary. Now, if you eat, drink sugar sweetened beverages, candies, eat cookies, basically there's nothing that you should have eaten to begin with, so they all would be discretionary. And so I calculate those as discretionary. Sure enough, residents in South LA are heavier, more obese, higher body mass index. And what you see is those discretionary calories, and we only looked at four sources of those. We didn't look at the butter on their food, and especially we didn't look at ethnic foods. We didn't look at churros and agua fresca and the pan dulces, but just sugar-sweetened beverages, candies, cookies, chocolate, and a lot of salty snacks. They're way over there what, according to the guidelines, they have left for discretionary calories. I'm going the wrong way. So compared with residents of the more wealthy area, South LA residents consume significantly more discretionary calories from snacky items. And that already exceeds their recommended discretionary calories, just from the few categories we assess. And not even looking at the churros and the pan dulces and the agua frescas or chatas. Noticeable is also the differences that are not there. There's no difference in daily servings in fruit and vegetables. There's no difference in the five a day. Now look at the numbers. This is Los Angeles. This is California. This doesn't look like New York, right? 49.6, 48% have five a day, self-reported. Looks very different. has a lot to do, of course, with the Hispanic population there and the fact that LA has a lot of fresh produce. The differences about in physical activity are not that dramatic, although residents in South LA watch more TV. The rates of eating out are similar, although more cars and food trucks among South LA restaurants. So they eat at different places, definitely different places, right? They don't go to the sit-down truck, but they go to the food truck and the mobile carts there. There's a dramatic difference in how they get to the store. And that's, of course, like the New York story there. Far more residents walk, use, or the Louisiana, far more residents walk or use public transportation, right? With an income of $24,000 on a family, you can't really afford too many cars. The latter is virtually unknown in the high-income areas, but walking is important. So let me summarize here what we have. There's no evidence for over-concentration of large chain fast food outlets. I think this is a total red herring, the target of the regulations. What we have in the South LA is more very small outlets, like the prototypical taco stand. But that's not affected by the regulations. They're looking at the big boxes. They're looking at the McDonald's, the Wendy's, the Burger King's. Now, where does the data come from? Well, behind it. There was one data point in the Los Angeles Times, and I talked to the person who calculated it. And that looked at ratios between what they defined fast food restaurants. But he told me, that's not fast food restaurants. He calculated at the big chains, like I did, and then he counted everything that has less than seating for less than 10 people. Well, yeah, they're like the taco stands, right? All that stuff is lumped in. And then he calculated a ratio, and it seemed like they have more of something. Yes, they have more of the food carts, more of the food trucks, all that stuff. They have a lot more. By the way, I don't like this idea of ratios. This has become really fashionable. I think this does not work at all. There's this health retail environment index, and some of my students got really excited about it. They want to write all those papers. You have to look at absolute numbers, right? Don't try to get ratios of these things because I can get you any result you want just by tiny, tiny redefinitions. The ratio idea is not a good one. And this is an example of why this ratio isn't working. Now, would more sit-down restaurants lead to lighter, healthier diets? And one of the arguments is, we need more restaurants in this area, or do they just lead to heavier checks? And I think it's really the latter here. This whole idea that sit-down restaurants are healthy and fast food restaurants are bad for you, I don't believe that. If you look to some of the big chains that actually give you nutritional information, like Romano's Macaroni Grill, the average lunch sandwich has 1,680 calories. That's a lunch sandwich. Now, that's more than three Big Macs. You don't go and order three Big Macs, right? Now, many dinner choices have over 2,000 calories. This is an addition, of course, after you eat 800 calories across the list of appetizers there, and over 1,000, which is the average across the dessert menu. Now, that's unlikely that this improves in the chains that refuse to provide nutritional information, right? The Outback, for example, they are ossetizers. Now, they don't publish that, but it has been analyzed independently. The ossetizer appetizer is about 2,000 calories. Right? So no wonder you're stuffed after you eat at those restaurants. You just gobbled in like 3,000 calories. You don't do that at a fast food restaurant. So the next thing is, do residents need more food stores, the grocery stores? Well, actually, they already have far more food stores already. Mainly the smaller sized. But if you believe roadway miles would be the right one, then you need to look at then the large stores. We have enough of those too. Now, if you look at the candy and cookies and the snacking, we know they eat more of that. Where does it come from? It's not coming from the restaurants. It's coming from the small outlets, right? So here's a hard choice. We do need more stores in those areas because people walk. They need to be able to shop there. Now, the problem really is, what do they sell those stores, right? What is their main source of revenue? And it's really the candies, cookies. So we have a problem here. But this type of regulation does not really address what I think is the real problem. And it creates sort of the idea that we're dealing with a real issue, and it's not dealing with the real issue. And it's probably not even good for the population here, because, I don't know, I think the fatal checks comes really is mainly what you get from a sit-down restaurant. Well, it's grim news. I'm sorry, but we shouldn't really get sidetracked by things that sound good politically and are just wrong empirically. So we really have to look at data. And it's too bad it doesn't work, but we have to face that it doesn't work, and we have to look at something different. Okay, Los Angeles ordinance. It may be an important first. I argue it's probably not for the right reason. The justification is inconsistent with the business structure. The type of foods that is available, portion sizes, that's more important than the type of outlet. And we need a different angle to get it. We see a difference in snacks. And I think those snacks, they would mainly come from grocery stores, convenience stores, and many non-food businesses. The car wash is selling the cans of soda and the cookies, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the McDonald's. And I don't know what to do about it either.
Out of time, right?
One thing, but that's why you get your project up. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.